You are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets associated with the metals. I'm Rob, alongside Tori and Miles. Together, we have over 75 years of experience advising and brokering the precious metals. Advising on, I should say, because I can't tell silver what to do, even though I want to. Each week, the three of us provide a technical analysis of the metals charts and cover the underlying fundamentals and the news, which today there is quite a bit, that helps move and predict the markets. So we will get into the charts. And Miles, please give us a recap of the last week.
Hey, I appreciate it, Rob. And I think you're doing a great job telling the markets what to do. Let's move over to the metals market. Moving over to gold, starting off, it's going to be kind of a running theme this week, guys, with gold down 1.5%. But that's really just amidst some bouncing up and down over the past week. So we might look a little bit deeper at the metals charts here in a minute and see what that trading range has been. But from our last recording back on Wednesday of last week, we're looking down 1.5% to 4,070. Silver does a little bit better than gold by going down a little bit more. Silver's down about 3.8% to $57.50. Where it's been parked here for a while now in the high 50s, low 60s, and remains in that trend. Platinum, continuing the theme, down about 2.5%, currently sitting just above $1,600 at $1,605. And palladium's going to keep it going, down 3%. To $1,250. Now, moving over to the paper markets, the S&P, of course, with all the metals down, the S&P is also down and about the same percentage, about 2.5%, currently sitting at 7,315. I feel like I say this at the beginning of every week, but I definitely want to look at the S&P chart because we're starting to develop a little bit of a pattern here, guys. So don't let me forget before the show ends this week, because I want to look at that.
Okay.
And then finally, if the S&P's down and the metals are down, you can pretty much assume that the dollar is
up.
Also down. It's actually mostly even, but the dollar is actually also down slightly from our recording last week. Now, it has been climbing. It just so happened that we did have a news announcement today, guys, which we're going to talk about first, I'm sure, here. But right before we recorded, that did kick the dollar back down to 100.9, which closes us out slightly below where we were last week. So, fellas, what happened today?
Well, Fauci pleaded the fifth repeatedly, but that has nothing to do with the metals markets.
I don't think it moved the markets.
No, well, it did back in 2020.
Sure did.
It did.
It certainly did back in 2020. We all remember what March of 2020 felt like if you were a metals dealer.
I think it's funny that you say that because I think that is actually a good parallel to what we're seeing today. When we saw COVID start to shut down the economy and all the markets got roiled, like we've got some significant market instability right now, driven mostly by the AI leverage and semiconductor stock corrections. And a lot of it's going on in Asia. The Korean and Japanese markets are
getting clobbered.
Yeah. And so there are those concerns, but we'll get to the Fed announcement here in a sec, but you just rabbit trailed me and I'm completely unprepared in what I'm going to say. But that economic downturn to me is similar to what I think we're shaping up to see eventually, which is why I think they didn't hike rates today, and which would obviously make it premature to cut rates. So better to leave them alone, because here's what happens. Gold starts to get depressed or suppressed because the dollar rallies with the oil price gain. The bond yields climb. So the two-year yield, for example, climbs with the oil price hike. And that's a headwind for gold, as is the stronger dollar. And that's what we've been seeing over the last four and a half months. Well, at some point, that higher oil price is going to be tied less to inflation concerns and more to economic stagnation. And when that happens, the two-year yield is going to diverge away from the oil price. And Miles, I think it's worth looking at the bond yields today, but the two-year yield will start to decline or stop moving with the oil price climb. So if oil keeps going up due to supply shortage, which it should, ultimately, you guys, that is the inflation multiplier, which is bad because the economic activity starts to get suppressed and you have less borrowing, less spending, less economic activity, less business activity, less hiring, all those things. And then the dollar starts to turn down and gold starts to come back up, which is, Rob, something you can speak to multiple times in your decades of experience here, that when economic activity goes down, gold will start to go up. Well, right now we've got inflationary concerns, but the economy is still doing okay, according to Kevin Warsh. Anyway, we did see that with COVID. And remember what gold did during COVID. It dropped on the shutdown of the government, and then it went to an all-time high.
Yeah.
And I think that we're on the verge of seeing that turn here. The longer this war gets drawn out, the more it's going to slow the global economy, and gold is actually going to find its footing and get to its resurgence.
Well, the demand is there.
Yeah, the demand is definitely there. And real quick on the bond yields, though, the divergence you're talking about between the 2-year and like the U.S. oil price has started since April. You know, oil prices have been declining. The yield on the 2-year has continued to climb. So I think you are starting to see that.
Yeah, and I think it's the opposite. Where I'm kind of going is, as the oil prices start to climb again, because the memorandum of understanding is now over and the conflict has ramped back up and oil has started coming back higher, the 2-year yield is also higher today, especially on the Fed announcement. We're now at like the highest level since like 2007 or something, at least on the 30-year.
Yeah. Yeah, on the 30-year, we are almost 20 years. All the shorter terms, it's just we hit higher yields back in 2023, but we're knocking on the door. And the way we're knocking on the door, we're probably going to bust above it just from a chart perspective. I think we're breaking into the types of yields that we haven't seen in 20 years.
Yeah, and it's when those yields top and start to turn back down despite continued oil price climbs is when I think we're going to start to see gold go above the 4,200 level.
Well, we keep skipping along the bottom here.
Yes.
You know, we come down into the $4,000 area and then it bounces back up again.
Well, today we got below 4,000, right at 3,995. Prior to the Fed announcement, somebody knew something. It went up $45 in about 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then obviously after the announcement, it went up another $45. So it was up almost $100 from the low this morning to where we record now.
Yeah. Well, somebody took profits because it came back down $50
just in the last hour.
But so what you're referring to is an inverse relationship between the price of oil and treasury yields. Am I reading you correctly, Tori?
Yes. Yeah. There's been this correlation where they've both been climbing together, and the U.S. dollar has. So Miles has shown us these charts every week.
And you think they're going to part company?
Yes, I think they're going to part company. And again, that's if oil continues to climb. If we reach another peace deal and oil starts to come back down, then it's the divergence that Miles has already described. Bond yields can keep going up. Mm-hmm. But everybody needs to understand that's a headwind for gold.
Yeah. Well,
and when you start getting a real rate of return that's positive, that makes the interest in gold wane. And that's okay. That's healthy. It's short-lived. It's not some permanent cycle.
Well, but that higher yield on treasuries just mean we pay more on our national debt.
Well, that's right. And now you have $8 trillion in U.S. treasuries that are rolling over in the next 12 months.
Oh,
and
boy.
Of course, they're not going to hike rates. We can't afford for them to hike rates.
So you think Warsh is just going to be talking tough? I mean, he's talking tough. I'm going to raise rates in September. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. This was a 35% chance. There were three Fed governors that voted to hike rates. They dissented on the 9-3 vote. 50 to 55% chance supposedly in September, based on whether or not inflation is sticky. He says they remain committed to their 2% target rate. They failed. But David McIlvaney has talked about this multiple times as well. We've mentioned it. It's going to have far more to do with Fed balance sheet and what the Fed does to print than it does the interest rates. Like, the interest rate tactic has gotten overused, abused to the point where it's just not nearly as effective. It might have a 1 or 2 day market deal, but there's a moment coming, you guys, that there's going to be a great spend again. like the financial crisis and COVID,
yeah,
and there was a massive printing. That's coming. And I don't know when or why. Maybe the AI mania bubble truly bursts. I don't know.
Well, it's
but there's going to be that happening again, and gold is going to go. That's when we go to 7,000 or 8,000.
It's affecting the Dow. We're down 1,150 points.
Oh, my.
Right now.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. You're already seeing a drop in the equities markets. And this is on top of a Fed announcement that they were not going to raise rates. And the Dow still backed up to 2.2%.
Well, maybe, you know, with what the Korean market's down 35% in the last month.
Yeah.
Miles, you know, this could be another Asian contagion, you know, as you called the COVID virus. But there was an Asian contagion back in the 90s.
Yeah.
We were the financial crisis. We were the rock that hit the water that caused the ripples around the rest of the world with the financial crisis due to the housing market collapse and Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns. But it all depends on what direction it comes from.
Well, and we know where it leads to, and that's an increase in the Fed's balance sheet in addition to the money supply. Come on, we already know where this ends up. That's the only lever left they have to pull.
Yeah. Yesterday on the drop, admittedly, I bought probably more than I ever have in all my years here. Because you get back down to 4,000, and all of these underlying fundamentals are still intact. Nothing's looking better to me.
No.
Everything's looking riskier. I don't know what else you do with it. And adding to ounces just makes sense. And I don't care if it goes to 3,600. There's even protection in that regard. But I don't know why people wouldn't be buying here.
Well, I bought last week at 39.90. I'm with you on that. And we're so close to the 65-week moving average. You know, we might be a little bit below it right now, but that chart that you showed us a few weeks ago going back decades of gold and the 65-week moving average, that's been the safe zone to buy. We know where we're going. And to quote David McIlvaney once again, we may see a bottom within $100 or $200, but the top is thousands of dollars away from where we are right now.
And the reason being is we've added so much more debt since the financial crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It really wasn't able to be washed out. If we see another instance like that, we've been deficit spending during a growth phase. And that's bad economic policy. A lot of that was post-COVID and trying to stimulate, and everybody just got their hand in the pocket as much as possible. But globally, I mean, we've added like $75 trillion in debt just since COVID. And the national debt in the U.S. has grown from $11 trillion during the financial crisis to now we're getting ready to hit $40 trillion. And so that's just money printing. And yet here the dollar sits at what, Miles? 100? That's about a boring chart, isn't it, this week on the U.S. dollar?
That's like watching the paint dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's boring, but it's consistent.
But that's in relation to all the other currencies. So the dollar may not be doing much in relation to a basket full of currencies, but we're just the healthiest horse in the glue factory.
Sure. Well, most of that basket is the euro.
Yeah, on the dollar index, yeah.
So that's the other issue too, is you're really, most of what you're comparing it to is number two is the euro. There's not enough China in there. There's not enough Mexico in there. You know, there's not enough India in there, Japan. It's primarily a Eurocentric basket comparison. And it's not surprising to me from the two main Western world powers that you're seeing some kind of equivalently sinking ships, so to speak. If both of the lifeboats have holes in them, it's really just kind of a race to the bottom, but they're both racing pretty parallel to each other.
And not to give credit to China, but they imported last month 173 tons.
Why wouldn't you give them credit for that? That was brilliant.
Well, but they see what we are talking about. And Hong Kong imported 130 tons last month. Now, I don't know if those numbers are blended together, that 173 tons includes Hong Kong. Kind of doubt it, but that's over 300 tons of gold going to Communist China.
Well, the East gets it. It's no different than what France was doing that forced Nixon's hand on closing the gold window.
Exactly.
Right? It was all about the flight of gold.
Yeah.
And China shut down on the 24th, last Friday, we're recording on Wednesday the 29th, they shut down the paper gold markets in the Shanghai exchange, right? So they want it to be an actual real price. They want to set the physical market price for gold globally. And we may see premiums climb there. We may see a form of arbitrage like we saw earlier in the year where gold starts leaving the West and going to the East because there's a profit to be made. It's like the Japanese bond trade, you know?
Yeah, the yen carry trade,
yeah. Right? So you've got this short-term opportunity. People will do it. They'll send their gold to the East. And what a brilliant way for China to stockpile that way and force the world's hand into doing something about the global gold flow. I'm not saying that it's going to cause the physical prices to climb, but I'll tell you, our controller told us what yesterday morning, premiums have started to move in our physical market. And I'm not saying it's because of what China has done. It's very encouraging because we've never seen lower premiums, whether it's a standard bullion product. I mean, a Krugerrand is priced at spot price. Typically, you're 1.5% to 2% over spot in the wholesale market on that. American Eagles have been dirt cheap. Proofs have been dirt cheap. I mean, some of the, like the constitutional pre-1965 silver, junk silver is way below spot. Well, those premiums have not only stopped dropping, now they're starting to climb. And that tells me a lot. The market is catching up. Refiners are catching up. The market's cooled enough. Demand is picking up. And to me, again, it screamed, that's a great opportunity to add ounces.
Well, and we're coming out of the seasonal low. Mm-hmm. We keep talking about that. So we're going into a fall period that's going to be very interesting. You know, we're almost out of summer. So hold on to your hats, guys. I'm not looking for a moonshot, but I don't think we're going to stay here.
The only thing I've really got here is, and I mentioned this at the beginning, like we've seen over the last handful of years, it looks like the S&P is starting to roll over again. And I think that may play into what you guys were talking about earlier, where it's when and how do they get involved based on maintaining a certain decorum or a certain opinion about the market. And, you know, Washington loves to pretend like the stock market is the end-all be-all determining factor as to whether the economy is healthy or not. Now, for the average person on the street, most people beyond their 401k couldn't care less what the stock market is doing. They care what gas prices are. But, you know, if you want to get the government involved, you have to go after the stock market. And it looks like the stock market might be rolling over again. I mean, last time it rolled over, we got that, 20%+ drop, but then a massive cash infusion. All of a sudden, it jumps up significantly. So I think we could be looking for another big ride on the equities market here over the next 12 to 18 months, which should be pretty significantly good for gold if we saw something like that happen again. You know, sure, a drop might yank gold down with it for a month or two, but every time we've seen that happen, you get this massive rebound in the precious metals that just blows the decline out of the water. You know, you get a 15% drop and then a 40% rise. You know, in this last rise we just had, there was no coinciding decline in another investment. You know, it's not like people were rushing to gold last fall because something was happening, like we've seen in previous runs. You know, last fall was way more indicative of some of the other things you guys are talking about, like what China's doing right now in the metals market. You know, picking up gold now, they're starting to build that base again because they see the price down at levels where they're willing to load the boat 6 months, 12 months, 18 months in advance of the general public catching wind of it again and then pushing the price up for them. So now you throw something like a U.S. equity market decline into the mix of that, and you're looking at significantly higher gold prices in a much shorter period of time than really we should get. You know, we should get a pause in gold. It just took a massive step forward. It needs to take a breath. And if we see this cycle play out again, plus something like an equities market decline, where they're going to come in and pump money into the system to reverse that S&P price back up, hold on to your hats. So I don't know. I mean, you talk about premiums going up. You can still buy junk bags for a couple percent below melt value. At this point, with these prices in this market, given the market conditions, I don't know what else to say besides that you got cash sitting in a savings account. What are you doing? So that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website, find some additional info. We can be found at McIlvaney.com. That's McIlvaney.com. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold or Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. And as always, if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.